Welcome to Wine About History. I'm your host, Max Hamill. And with me, as always, is no one. I'm alone again today. Today, we're talking about Harald Hardrada, the last Viking. Now, he was named Hardrada because that, and depending on who you ask, there's lots of different translations, that meant hard bargainer or stern ruler. And today we're drinking Toad Hollows 2012 proprietary red wine, Eric the Red's California blend. It's pretty good. There is definitely blackberry and cherry and a little bit of vanilla. I don't taste the Coca-Cola that's supposed to be in here, but kind of do. You know, I do have to tell you that when I first started this podcast, I thought that letting the wine breathe was a little overrated. And I have to tell you, I am completely wrong. It really does open up the flavor. It definitely, you're almost drinking a different wine when you let it breathe. So, but I do recommend the wine. It is definitely a wine that needs to be let to breathe. That is something I've noticed with blends, is that if you just drink it and forget to turn your frickin' fan off before we're frickin' recording, but if you don't let the prep blends breathe, the flavors kind of cluster together almost, instead of just blending together in a tasty way. So I've talked your ear off about wine, now I'm going to talk your ear off about Harald. So Harald was a Viking, and he was the son of a petty king in Norway. And he was born, I believe, around 1015 or so in Ringerike, Norway. And he was the son of a petty king named Sigurd and the half-brother of King Olaf, who was also known as Saint Olaf because he introduced and reinforced Norway's Christianity. In fact, you know how most saints in their pictures, they have a picture of a... or on their paintings, they have a cross in one hand and a different symbol in another. And there'll be like a dove, a globe, some symbol that shows their, you know, what they were canonized, something from their time and all. St. Olaf is a Viking axe in his hand. But back to his brother Harald. He was born, as we said, in Ringerike, and he was a rebellious and rambunctious boy. And we don't know a lot about his childhood, or at least the research I went into. I'm sure there's some expert on Harald that could talk my ear off, but we're going to talk about them. You guys are stuck with me. So, but the first thing we know is about the Battle of Stiklestad in July 29th, 1030. Now, St. Olaf had been king of Norway and exiled because he lost his throne to the Danish king Knut the Great, who ruled England, parts of the British Isles, Denmark, Norway, and a few other places at the time. Olaf wanted his throne back, and he went and he came to take it. And when Harald heard his brother was coming, he strapped on his sword, put on his helmet, and the 15-year-old Viking brought 600 warriors to fight for his brother. Now, at that time, 16 was a decent age. You were considered a man at 8, and the second you were able to father children, you did. So he's young, obviously, but 15 then is 20s now. So with an army of 3,600 Vikings, Olaf and his brother met a 14,000 strong peasant and farmer army of Harik, Thorirhund, and Kafir Arnofsen. And these were local chieftain and rulers in the area who, for whatever reason, didn't want Olaf to be king. Knut was a great king. He really was. He earned his epitaph, or his title. So, at the battle, Harald fought very hard and won renown, but he couldn't stop Thorir from killing his brother with his spear. In the aftermath, Harald fled. He was badly wounded. He found a local farmhouse and was laid there about a month recuperating. and he was nursed back to health. And while he was nursed, he thought about his options. He was not a great leader yet, so he couldn't sell his services to someone. He did not have a good claim to the throne, because the claim to the throne was his brother Olaf, who was dead. So he went to the Kievan Rus, which are Swedish Vikings, who set up shop in modern-day Russia and Ukraine. Kiev is still a town there, a city. And they, like most Vikings, intermarried with the local populace and merged traditions, but they still somewhat identified as being Scandinavian, a little bit, as their roots. So Prince Yugoslav the Wise welcomed Vikings as mercenaries, traders, and he actually knew King Olaf and welcomed Harald, his younger brother. There, Harald formed a mercenary company in Kiev, and he fought Yugoslav's enemies. He defeated Polish warriors, Estonian raiders, and the nomadic Pechengs, who were Turkish tribes that would raid the Kievan lands. And he defeated anyone who threatened the Rus, and even began to court, which is the term back then for dating, one of Yugoslav's daughters. But he didn't have enough money to pay the bride price. So like any young man, he set off to make his fortune. And at this time, Constantinople, which is now Istanbul in Turkey, was the crown jewel of Eastern Europe and the seat of the Byzantine Empire. And the Byzantine Empire is what is left of the Eastern Roman Empire, which was still around. It's still somewhat continued. It changed names, it changed hands, but it's still considered the Eastern Roman Empire. It survived that long. Now, the 20-year-old Viking prince took 500 of his warriors and sent off to the royal city. And there, the Emperor Michael's bodyguards were a mix of Norman, Saxon, and other Scandinavian warriors, ruthless men from Northern Europe who wanted to fight and kill and make some money. They were called the Varangians, depending on who you pronounce. And they were the elite shock troops of their time. And Harald fought in the Middle East, Iraq, Afghanistan, all over Eastern Europe. And he captured 80 Muslim forts, defeated Arabic pirates, and then oversaw a peace agreement in Jerusalem with the Fatimid Caliphate. Now then, in the 1040s, he was elected to be one of the leaders in an expedition in Sicily. Now Sicily is an island off the coast of Italy. And it's very important as a trading route, because whoever controls Sicily basically controls the Mediterranean. And that's why it's important as a trading hub, as a fortress. And in the year 700, well, the 700s, the Moors were northern Africans, conquered large swaths of Europe and the Christian world. For instance, Egypt used to be Christian. They conquered parts of Spain, Portugal, Sicily, and Italy. And the Byzantines wanted it back for a variety of reasons, for religious reasons and just practical reasons. Who wouldn't want to control the choke point of the Mediterranean? So Harald went down there and they won, along with some other warriors like William Ironarm, a Norman warrior, and Michael's generals. They conquered a whole bunch of cities and towns and took over quite a bit of Sicily. But it was the Normans that unified Sicily. But that's for another episode. Then he put down a Bulgarian rebellion most ruthlessly. Now, I know this is a story about Harald. I have read that this is what he did, but maybe he'd done this to a different city. He was shut out of the city, and they didn't want to surrender. So what he did, he noticed large flocks of wild birds would nest in the city but eat outside the city. So then he had all his men capture these sparrows, pigeons, thrushes, robins. And it must have looked very funny seeing hundreds of hardened Vikings trying to catch birds with their bare hands. What was not funny is that he covered wood chips in tar, stuck them to the backs of the birds, and lit them on fire. Terrified, the birds fled home, and in doing so, burned the city to the ground. So, that is how he put down the Bulgarian rebellion. Then something unfortunate for Harald happened. Michael IV, Emperor of the Byzantine Empire, died. And his son, we'll call Mikey, because he didn't do a very good job, Mikey V, imprisoned Harald on some trumped up charge of it. It was having sex with an important nobleman's wife, murdering someone, we don't know. But he pissed Harald off. Not a good thing to do. An enraged Harald broke out of prison, summoned his men to revolt, then blinded the foolish emperor, allegedly. Don't mess with this dude. So then, Empress Zoe came to power. And don't be surprised she took revenge. I don't know if they were related, but I do know royal families didn't like each other very much back then. Then again, some families don't like each other now. So, she didn't want him to leave because he was so valuable. He had to sneak out in two ships with his closest followers, and one of them sunk because of these massive cross chains designed to do exactly that, to sink incoming ships. But he was a clever, and skilled sailor, just like all the Norsemen, and managed to navigate around it and go back to Kiev. Then he married Elisiv, I'm sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. No, I'm not. And went home. So in 1046, Harald took his riches, his warriors, and his new wife home to claim the Norwegian throne. Now, sorry, Max, how could he, you know, he only had one board of warriors. It's like 50 people. Well, back then, your warriors joined you for renown and money. If you have money and renown, masterless warriors, kind of like Ronin in the Japanese world, will come out of the woodwork to fight for you. So, he went home to claim Norway's throne as Olaf's heir. Only found Olaf's heir was already there, a bastard son named Magnus. And to make things worse for Harald, his nephew was actually a good king, and even defeated a rival claimant of the throne. And the Vikings, above all, they respected strength. So this led Harald to ally himself with Magnus' enemy and raid his coasts. Then they kind of decide to become joint rulers of Denmark and Norway, and there's some politics involved. But they didn't really get along, and they didn't meet to actually discuss. But Harald got to be king, and that's what he wanted. That's what people wanted to be back then. And when Magnus died, Harald actually went to war with his heir, Sigwin. But he never managed to kill him. He defeated him in battle many times, and never managed to actually kill him. So, then, he met a Saxon noble named Tostig Godwinson. And what happened was, remember we were talking about Canute? Well, Canute took over England. And a new English king, Harald Godwinson, who had married one of Canute's daughters, became king of England, or rather protector of England, I believe is the correct term. But his brother Tostig wanted to be king and ran all the way up to Norway and Denmark to convince Harald to conquer England. And then he was also joined. Now, Harald said, yeah, why wouldn't I want to be king of England? I'm Harald Hardrada. I can do whatever I want. And then, so there were some other Orkney and Shetland leaders and chieftains who joined Harald. Now, here's the thing, too. Orkney and Shetland are islands off the coast of Scotland, and they're ruled, they were ruled by Vikings. And so their earls came, earls being another word for jarls, cheap, powerful warrior chieftains. And probably maybe Malcolm III of Scotland, who was the king of the Scots at the time, may have given Harald about 2,000 men. We're not sure. So Harald's Viking force of about 10,000 men made his landing up north in the year of 1066. And did what Vikings did. He plundered, raped, murdered. This was a whole psychological warfare that was very, very typical of Vikings. It's how they won. Then 5,000 Anglo-Saxon warriors ran up to fight him. Then King Harald was so confident, he and many of his men went scouting. In fact, really, it was more they took half the army with them, without armor. And then they saw a glint of metal far off in the distance. It was an army of 15,000 Saxons who had had enough of Vikings interfering with their politics, destroying their land, taxing them, killing them. Tostig, according to legend, told King Harald that it was his men that were loyal to him, because he had once been Earl of Northumbria, an ancient kingdom that had been reduced to an earldom. But in reality, they were led by his brother. Harald had come to kill the Vikings. And the Viking, and this was the Battle of Stamford Bridge. Now, part of the army was on one side of the bridge, part of the army was on the other side, and they all managed to get on the other side. And one Viking looked at Harald, walked over to him and said, "May I please go to Valhalla today?" And Harald said, "Yes, you can." And this warrior, I believe his name is Thorir the Strong One, walked across the bridge of Stamford because there was only one person wide. So he held them off, the whole army, because they could only come at him one at a time across the bridge. While his men and his brothers and his friends all got ready to fight the Saxons. The man on Stamford Bridge killed 40 Saxon warriors until one snuck in a boat and stabbed him in the thigh, causing him to bleed out. Underneath the bridge, that is. The Vikings gave a battle cry of Oriya and charged forward. Harald was killed by an arrow in the throat because he wasn't wearing his armor. And thus ended the life of Harald Hardrada, the last Viking.